Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from John chapter 9. Did you know that John chapter 9, this section of John chapter 9, is one of the longest stories in the New Testament? And it's certainly the longest story in the Gospel of John. And I'm going to be telling this story, but I'm going to sort of put this long text, it's all one story. It's almost like an eight-act play with eight little scenes in the middle of it. Well, I'm going to read the first scene, and I'm going to read the last few verses of our section this morning, and then I'm going to have your imagination and I, as we just think about this passage together, fill in the middle. It's a wonderful, wonderful story that John has captured for us with great detail so that we might learn a little bit about the difference between eyesight and insight. These are the words about Jesus. I'll be reading verses 1 through 5 first, and then verses 34 to 41. Walking down the street, Jesus saw a man born blind from birth. His disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, causing him to be born blind?" Jesus said, "You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There's no such cause, effect, law here. And look instead to see what God can do. We need to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here, working while the sun shines bright. When night falls, the workday is over. For as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." In the middle section, Jesus meets this man born blind, and he has his sight restored. Now at the end of the passage, Jesus comes back to the disciples and the religious leaders that are there and concludes the section this way as John captures it. The religious leaders said, "Jesus, you're nothing but dirt. How dare you take that tone with us?" Or rather, to the blind man, he said that. And then they threw the man who was blind out into the street. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out and went and found him. Jesus asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man said, "Point him out to me, sir, so that I can believe in him." And Jesus said, "You're looking right at him. Don't you recognize me by my voice?" "Master, I believe," the man said. And he worshiped him. Jesus then said, "I came into the world to bring everything into clear light, the clear light of day, making all the distinctions clear, so that those who have never seen will see, and those who have made great pretense of seeing will be exposed as being truly blind." Some Pharisees overheard him and said, "Does that mean that you're calling us blind?" And Jesus said, "If you were really blind, you would be blameless. But since you claim to see everything so well, you're accountable for every fault and failure." Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your word today. May we hear what we need to hear, and especially see what we need to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see if I have some extra batteries here. How come the microphone always goes dead right when I need it? I'm not sure why that is. That was a rhetorical question. use this guy. So I want you to imagine that this is a play, a stage play, up here in the front. Wow, that's on. I think I might have shocked someone awake right there. Imagine, there's some actors in this play. And Jesus is just walking around. The text said that he was walking by. Now, he's in Jerusalem, in the Jerusalem area. And he comes across a man who the disciples notice right away that he was born blind. Now, how the disciples knew that, I don't know. Maybe they had passed that way before. Or maybe it's something that was made known to him. Maybe they asked. You know, maybe they went up, oh, look at that guy over there. Oh, I wonder how long he's been blind. Oh, I hear that he's been blind like from birth. Never been able to see. And so they ask Jesus in this first act of the play. They say, Jesus, who sinned? This guy? Or was it his parents? One of the two. There's only two options that the disciples had. Can you imagine starting a conversation like that? You just meet some total stranger. It could be somebody who is hearing impaired, someone who is visually sighted impaired. It could be someone who is just, mobility is just different than yours. You know, we often identify people and compare our mobility, our vision, our hearing, our thinking, what other senses, our smelling, all the things that we can do. We often say, well, that's like either normal or great. And everybody else is sort of compared on the scale, right? And that's understandable. So if you have really good vision and you don't need your glasses, well, and you see someone, you know, with glasses on, you could fairly conclude, unless they're clear lenses and they're just costume jewelry, you could fairly conclude that person's eyesight is probably not as good as mine. Or if you see someone with a hearing aid, and you don't need one right now, you may say fairly say that, oh, I suppose that their hearing is probably not quite as good as mine, because if it was, you know, they wouldn't be needing that hearing aid, and so forth and so on. But people that don't register on our scale, like someone with a hearing aid, or perhaps they need special glasses, or those that are not perhaps blind, but they have macular degeneration, those other kinds of things with the eyes, or hearing. Now, they're not deaf, but maybe you listen to too much rock music like I did. My left ear just doesn't hear quite as well as this one. So we have various ways that we're abled. We're not disabled people. Everyone has abilities, but they're not all the same. There's a range of abilities. So we don't have disabled. We have alternately abled. Everybody has an ability. It's just on this huge range, this huge scale. And where we fit in that range could be a range of generosity. It could be how fast can we run. It could be how much money do we make. It could be whether you're Presbyterian or maybe Methodist, huh, guy? Yeah, you know I love the Methodists. And so we have these various ranges in our life, and it seems like we always go around, again, it's very natural, but it seems like we go around saying, oh, there's Rob. He's taller than me. Oh, he has, oh, those glasses, those are obviously a different prescription than mine. I mean, oh my goodness, he really has bad eyes. Or look at that suit, you know, oh my goodness, he has a new suit, I don't, but his suit's not as good as mine. And we just do these kind of comparisons and contrasts, and ordinarily, we always come out on top. It's usually our vacation was the best. Or your microphone cable is better than my microphone. Your battery works, but mine doesn't. And so we have these various ways of comparing. So, thank you so much. You are the man. Yes. I mean Mr. McPherson, fire chief. And so we have these various ways of trying to understand what it is. Where do I fit on everybody else's scale? Or more importantly, what I think the disciples were doing is they were seeing where other people fit on their scale. They were going around measuring and evaluating, and they came across, just so happened to be a person without sight. It might have been someone who couldn't hear. It might have been someone who couldn't walk. It might have been someone who was just sick with leprosy. It didn't matter. It was just someone different. And they judged this person. And they didn't seemingly know the person's name. But they did notice that he was differently abled than them. And so it becomes a conversation, because back in Jesus' day, they thought that if all of your abilities weren't up to par with mine, God must be judging you. God must not like you. You must have done something. But if the man was born blind, obviously they were concluding maybe it was, that's who it was. They must have done something really bad, because their child was born blind. Imagine that. Jesus simply said, asking the wrong question. It has nothing to do. Jesus wanted us to recognize that our physical abilities don't have a correlation with our spiritual abilities. And that our physical abilities have a range of things. They just go all over the place. And they're not meant to judge or separate us from other people. We are together, people who are men and women and children. We all have gifts. And part of the fun of living is to understand how your gifts complement mine or challenge mine or help me to think differently. And so the disciples went on from that. And Jesus sends, in the next section, Jesus sends the blind man, and the word sent is used intentionally here. He sends him to a pool by the temple that was called Sent. The pool was named Sent. And also Jesus says that he's the one that was sent by God. And so the one sent by God sends the man born blind to a pool named Sent. That means that Jesus is an active God. Jesus just doesn't sit around waiting for, you know, something to do. Jesus is moving in the world, moving in our lives, moving in our midst. And God wants us to move in our midst. But it doesn't have to be physical movement. It doesn't have to be just visual movement. It doesn't just have to be mental movement, just movement. Things are moving. The Spirit of God, we learned last week, moves wherever it needs to go. And so the power of God moves. It is not static. You don't keep it in a pew or keep it in a box or keep it on a shelf. The Spirit of God moves. And so he sends him to the pool, tells him to make some mud, put it on his eyes, and make his way back. And by the time the guy gets back, the guy can see. It's just amazing. And he comes, but you know what? He didn't find Jesus right away. Because of the crowd, because of the activity, I don't know. But we do know what the man said. I was once blind. The next section, the crowd start, they see the blind man, and they said to him, as they saw him, hey, that fellow that was blind, probably begging, probably sitting there by the gate of the temple looking for handouts. They treated them just miserably, people that weren't as abled as ordinary folks might have been. And so people said, well, I don't think that's him. No, how could it be? I mean, he was blind. I mean, how could a blind person be seeing? But let's ask his parents. And so in the third scene, they go and find his parents. And they ask, hey, is this your son? And you know what they said? We're not sure. We can't be sure. But you know why they said that? They knew that person had a name. But they weren't willing to say who that person was. Yes, that's our son. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. Our son was born blind, and now he can see. That's amazing. They didn't do that. They said, don't say anything. Henry, don't say anything. Okay, Marge, I won't say a thing. Okay, please don't say anything. No, we're not sure if that's our son, because they were afraid that the religious rulers were going to get mad at them. Because you know when Jesus did this miracle? It was on the Sabbath day. Jesus did a miracle on the wrong day of the week. Did you know that there was good days to do those things and days you're supposed to avoid that? So on Sunday, don't do anything good. Paul, no, not on Sunday. Wait till Monday. And so this is what they thought. They were judging people not only by their abilities, as they compared to the religious leaders, but they also judged people based on the time or the day of the week in which they did things that were good. And so they were mad at Jesus for doing this miracle on the wrong day, and the parents were not going to get into that conversation. So again, the scene moves over to mom and dad then just won't say. They love their son, but they're just not going to get in the middle of that. They didn't want to get put out of the synagogue. They didn't want to get thrown out of church. Oh, God, we're not going to mess with that. No, I don't think that's our son. How could it be? Our son was born blind. And so Jesus, the man, finally runs into Jesus. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm the light of the world. I'm the Son of Man. I'm the one that made you whole. I'm the one that helped you get sight. And the man says, oh, I understand that now. You see, his physical sight led to mental insight. It led to a sense of understanding. He could see, but he didn't know who Jesus was until he finally recognized that Jesus, yes, oh my goodness, if you're the Son of Man, then you're like in this business. This is what you do. You help people. You help all people, whether they're on this side of the scale in a certain ability range, or whether they're in this side of the scale in a certain ability range. Jesus has come to make everybody better, to make everyone different, to make everyone taste the abundant life, and as we know, a life that lasts forever. So Jesus then, finally in the seventh scene, Jesus comes to the leaders, or the leaders come to him, and they're angry with Jesus. And Jesus says, you know what? This man was blind and now he can see, but you all are blind. Can you imagine how they must have felt indignant? What do you mean? We're not blind. Did you know that priests in the Old Testament days, and not just the Jewish faith, but any time, almost from like the 13th, 14th, 15th century back, and even examples today, that anyone in religious service could not be blind, could not be deaf, could not lack mobility. They couldn't have any kind of diseases. It was like a spiritual super club. And back in Jesus' day, no one could be in the priesthood and be blind. So when Jesus is saying, looks like you guys can't see. What's he saying? He's saying that we're blind. Well, you can't be blind. We're priests. We're religious leaders. God loves us. Can't you see? We can see. Right? We don't have that curse of blindness or that curse of lameness or that curse of leprosy or that curse of deafness. God loves us. Can't you see? We're perfect. And Jesus says, no, I'm sorry. You're about as blind as they come. See, they didn't understand that he wasn't talking about physical blind. It doesn't matter how well we see. It doesn't matter how well we hear or how fast we run or how much money we have in the bank. It doesn't matter whether we're Presbyterian, Roman Catholic, or my favorite Methodist. It just doesn't matter. What matters, Jesus says, is that you understand the one that God sent. That you've met the one that God sent. And since Jesus saying later to the disciples, he says, as the Father has sent me, what did he say? So I have sent you. Sending business. And Jesus is in the business that identifies everybody by their first name. Even if you have a weird one. Even if you don't even use it because you don't like it, you use your middle name instead. Jesus knows your name. He knows how well you can see. Not visually.
He understands how much you understand. He understands how much energy there is in your life. He understands these things, these hopes and dreams that you have, wherever you've come from, wherever you're planning to go tomorrow. He knows all these things. And he wants to enter that experience and say, you know what? I have been sent for you. I have been sent for you. And now I'm sending you. Now, we're probably not going to be sent to a pool called Sent. But you know, God is sending you somewhere. I don't know where it's going to be, unless you plan on sleeping here overnight. But wherever you're going next, realize that God is sending you there. What you're doing tomorrow? I don't know. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't remember. Well, God sent you there. And how about the things that you do during the week? In your retirement, you have activities. You're probably busier now than you ever were. And those of us that are working, we know we're as busy as we ever want to be. And those of us who are students, we know there's ever something else to learn. And those of us that just work and serve and do a combination of a million things, from relaxation and recreation to reading, God has sent us there too. And that's the amazing thing about this longest story in the Gospel of John. That it started with the disciples asking the wrong question, saying, compared to that guy over there, I'm much better. You're asking the wrong question. Matter. What really matters is, do you know the one who has sent you? And are you willing to be sent to be a blessing as Jesus was? So in all these conversations, this man, sadly we don't know his name, but at the end of the story, the parents get in on it. They finally acknowledge the son. The blind person who was born blind, who now can see, still the same person he ever was, same name he ever had, he was kicked out of the synagogue. But you know what? Their lives were never the same because they agreed to be sent, one who was sent. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your word today. And let's just pause for a moment and consider the gifts that God has given you. Think beyond your physical gifts. Think about the spiritual gifts you've been given, the insight, the direction, the hope, the meaning. Ask God to increase that in your life. And then think about that God has sent you to be a blessing. Wherever it is you go, that's where that blessing will be. Dear God, thank you for sending us as Cold Spring Church, a people of faith, to serve the community at large with the good news that we have heard, so that their lives, all lives, might be different as ours are becoming different. In Jesus' name, amen.